W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. At least one death is now being blamed on a storm that slammed Kentucky last night. WLKY-TV's Randall Kam is in Louisville.
I don't know how fast it was going, but I've never seen wind go that fast.
Destruction at the Oaks at St. Andrews Apartments in South Louisville. The roof of one apartment building torn off by devastating wind.
It looked like a tornado is what it looked like. I'm not sure if that's what it was.
Folks who live here say one minute it was not raining, the next minute it was raining, and then suddenly the wind came, and they say it was incredible.
A tornado killed five people yesterday in Missouri. Former Vice President Mike Pence will comply with a subpoena to testify about January 6th. Here's CBS's Robert Costa.
An advisor to former Vice President Mike Pence says he could testify before the grand jury within weeks, and prosecutors could get a vivid firsthand account of what Donald Trump did and said as he relentlessly pressured Pence to overturn the 2020 election. Former federal prosecutor Scott Frederickson.
When the mobs were attacking the Capitol trying to stop the election, what did the president tell Vice President Pence, if anything, before, during, after?
The former president assailing all four ongoing investigations of him.
Three lawmakers in Tennessee face expulsion today for taking part in an anti-gun rally last week. They're accused of using a bullhorn on the state house floor as thousands flooded the Capitol demanding gun reform following the school shooting in Nashville. Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton.
Unanimously, everybody in this body would agree that that was not acceptable behavior. That is not how members of the General Assembly should act.
Federal authorities have opened a civil rights investigation into the death of a 17-year-old who was shot and killed last month by U.S. Park Police. CBS's Jeff Begay's reports.
Please, someone come home.
The driver, 17-year-old Delano Martin, drove off. One officer falling to the ground, the other still in the back seat.
Stop, shoot!
Martin's family says that he was shot in the back five times. He slumped over the wheel, the car crashing into a house.
Park Police say officers acted appropriately. A drug dealer has pleaded guilty to providing the heroin that killed actor Michael K. Williams.
The cheese stands alone.
Williams was best known for his roles in shows like The Wire. He overdosed in 2021. His dealer now faces up to 40 years in prison. Kansas is banning transgender athletes from girls and women's sports from kindergarten through college. It comes a day after state lawmakers passed a broad bathroom bill. The law takes effect in July. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
Everyone deserves freedom over their own body. Everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care without judgment. And everyone deserves a health care provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive health care services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención, pase lo que pase.
Is your teenager anxious about their future? Would you like to see them take control with confidence and excitement? Contact Sarah Deacon, the adulting coach, at sarahdeacon.com and give them the courage to face their next level in life. Sarah Deacon Coaching helps to process decisions, relationships, rejection, and everything else teenagers go through. And it's a judgment-free zone to learn and express themselves. Visit sarahdeacon.com for your free consultation. That's SARADEACON.com.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Want instant respect when you tell people what you do for a living? Want to turn heads for the project you helped build? Want a thrilling career? Want to make some big bucks? Be a cowboy of the sky. You'll get the best wages in the business, full family insurance, and two retirement plans on top of those great paychecks. There's more. Be proud and happy to go to work again. Contact Ironworkers Local 8 at 414-476-9372. 414-476-9372. Or visit IWL8.org.
You're listening to independent programming that has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. To learn more and to see our entire broadcast lineup, go to civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Thursday, April 6th. It is nice to be back on the radio. We'll talk to Aaron Zommers about that in just a sec. But first, coming up this morning, this is 40. Not the movie. This is 40% voter turnout. This is what it looks like in Wisconsin, which is a sky-high figure for a spring election. But between the repeal of abortion rights and no shortage of other extreme actions, Republicans are finally learning that independent voters have the potential to show up in record numbers at every election going forward. So the question has to be asked, will the GOP moderate its course or will it double down? We will talk to Joe Zepecki to provide some perspective on the election results and the path going forward. Also this hour, we spoke with State Representative Kalen Haywood about how the governor's budget proposal could address a host of housing issues around the state. And then the theme of our second hour is to stay just a little bit longer. Hearing that Wisconsin physicians were considering a run for the exits, voters made a choice Tuesday that sends a message to docs. Stay put for now. And let the legal fight over the 1849 abortion ban get to this newly progressive state Supreme Court. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will have our weekly hometown health segment. It features Dr. Ann Helms, a neurologist and advocate for healthcare reform. And they'll talk about what this week's election means for the literal healthcare of our state. So with the election behind us, our call of the day asks you for a single word. What's the one word that sums up your feelings about the results of the Wisconsin Supreme Court election? You can comment on Facebook over at the Up North News Facebook page or the page for Civic Media or for Bull Falls Radio, or you can call us. Two studio lines, pick one. They both work. Aaron will pick you up either way. The main line is 844-967-2789. We also have an Up North line, 715-388-7155. We have that special number because Civic Media is now a growing network around Wisconsin, and sometimes we have more than one show on at a time at different stations. And so when Chad Holmes has his show up in Wausau, when you've got Todd Alba doing his show, while Earl Ingram is doing his show over in the Milwaukee area, we've got a couple of different phone numbers that we have to use for you to get through. On this particular show, you can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, because Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we appreciate using their real estate for 2 hours every weekday morning. Find the work that we do at upnorthnewswi.com or search for Up North News WI on social media. And this is the point where we tell the tale of yesterday. Mr. Zommers, good morning. How are you?
Better today.
Better today. Again, if you're listening on the radio, it is nice to be back. If you are watching or listening on Facebook, you already know the story that Aaron sent me a text around, what, 5:45 or so. Basically, the gist of the text was, uh-oh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I'll keep you updated. And then I proceeded to send nothing else because there were no updates.
There were no updates. The thunderstorms that went through the Madison area before perhaps did something with the equipment. We don't know. We just know that we started the show on the internet only through Facebook and Twitter, and you know, kept waiting for the radio station to rejoin us. And you guys finally got on the air. What was it? Sometime late in the 8 o'clock hour, I think.
No, it was almost exactly when your show ended. So right before 8 o'clock.
Of course it was. All right. Well, so anyway, we had our first internet only show, which is nice. I mean, it's nice to know that we can do it, but we'd much rather talk to everybody through radio stations located all across Wisconsin in a network that continues to grow. But, Aaron, you look like you've aged just a little bit since yesterday, but you know, way to stick with it.
Yeah. You know, I'm still here. We're good.
Yeah, that's right. So we are back, and we are very happy to have everybody here. Let's see. We've got just a couple of minutes here before we take a break, and then we'll talk to Representative Kalen Haywood about housing provisions in Governor Evers' budget proposal. So I'll take this time to do a little sports, because there was a matinee game. The only time you hear matinee anymore, we don't use that word talking about movies like the olden days, but there was matinee baseball, afternoon game against the Mets over at American Family Field. The game was tied at 6 apiece to head into the ninth inning, and Garrett Mitchell untied it. He first started off his ninth inning at bat, bottom of the ninth, trying to get a hit via the bunt, but he fell behind 1-2 in the count. So instead, he swung and blasted a game-winning shot into the right field seats. Brewers get the win 7-6 and a sweep in that three-game series with the Mets. Excuse me. So that is now a 5-game winning streak for the Brewers since losing the season opener to the Cubs. The Brewers are off today. St. Louis comes into town, and the Cardinals will start a 3-game series with the Brewers over the weekend. Tomorrow, Brandon Woodruff will be on the mound tomorrow for the Brewers. Now, as for the Bucks, again, the regular season is nearly over, and last night the Bucks wrapped up the top seed in the NBA playoffs as they beat the Chicago Bulls in Milwaukee last night 105-92. The Bucks were down 10 points in the third quarter, but then went on a 15-0 run to overcome that deficit. Giannis sat out the game with a sore right knee. Not unexpected, given that, you know, there's nothing to play for now until the playoffs get here. So on Friday will be the last regular season home game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Then on Sunday in Toronto, that'll wrap things up for the regular season. Bring on the playoffs. As my old friend Jim McAteer used to say, time to lace up the black shoes. It's playoff time. All right, we will talk about the different ways that housing is an issue across Wisconsin and what Governor Evers is proposing to do about it with State Representative Kalen Haywood from Milwaukee coming up next. This is Up North News Radio for a Thursday.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 49. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 28. High temperatures reach up to 48. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Dry and turning warmer Saturday and Sunday with highs from the mid-50s to the upper 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Media. I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 29 degrees.
Madison, a city of culture, the Vilas Zoo, the Arboretum, and then there's us. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Representative Kalen Haywood, nice of you to be here on Up North News Radio. Thank you.
Hey, Pat, man, thank you for having me here today. I'm glad I could be here with you all.
I want to find out more about what's being proposed in housing on a couple of different fronts here. There's obviously a lot of talk about affordable housing, affordable workforce housing, and then there's also concerns between renters, tenants, and landlords, which we may get into as well. But really, affordable housing is something that gets talked about everywhere. The city of Milwaukee, from the city of Milwaukee to the smallest villages that still are looking to house a workforce. How would you best describe the affordable housing issue all across Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think that when we talk about housing as an issue, affordable housing, workforce housing, is an issue that we are facing all 72 counties. Like you said, in communities big and small, whether that's in Milwaukee, where we are seeing a uptick, I think it's nationally uptick in housing pricing, whether it's to be a homeowner or to be a renter, where we have a housing stock needs to be revitalized, or in rural Wisconsin, where some of that same issue with folks trying to find homes and afford homes, but also just not having the housing stock. And that impacts us both in urban and rural communities, especially when it comes to recruiting folks that want to come here and grow families and live and work in Wisconsin, but also when it comes to retaining our Wisconsin families and workers who are educated here or raised here. How do we keep them here and make Wisconsin attractive? So housing is so important in that, but also housing plays into, I think, every aspect, whether it's health, whether it's schooling, whether it's the jobs are offered. Housing just plays a huge role in all that happening.
And we should point out that, I mean, if you go to Madison, for example, it looks like the buildings are sprouting like weeds. There's a lot of housing there. There's a lot of retail space down below. But again, that's unique to Madison. That doesn't do anything if a company in, you know, Marshfield or Marinette or someplace else wants to expand. And so in your view, in the view of Governor Evers and others, this isn't something that the private sector is necessarily going to address. This is something that public sectors in Wisconsin municipalities are really concerned about.
Yeah, I think it's a private and public sector issue, but the public sector has to be a huge part of that. I think we want to see the growth that's happening in Madison, having thought the entire state. That's why you see things like the governor investing in workforce housing in the executive budget. The governor proposed $150 million from the GPR dollars to invest in just workforce housing around the states. Around the state, that money will go directly to municipalities and communities to really focus and target how do you build workforce housing in those communities. We're also making an investment of $200 million that goes to municipalities as well for properties that are not being used or sort of be restored and revitalized on Mitchell, like in Milwaukee. We have a lot of old housing stock that could be great, beautiful homes, if they have the proper investment. So that means there's just two ways where the governor and I both agree that we need to give the communities, the municipalities, the counties, whether it's Milwaukee or Marionette or Sister Bay, Wisconsin, give them the tools and the investment they need to be able to expand and attract folks there through workforce housing programs.
And that's a very important point, that there's a lot that can be done through renovation and through restoration. And similarly, this funding isn't just for the housing stock itself, but some of the infrastructure that helps support it, right?
Yeah, correct, correct. I think that's also important too, folks. Just for I think my district, I have residents who have been in their homes for decades. They have helped build the neighborhoods to be what they are. And a lot of them are retired now. They are retired. Police officers are retired. School teachers who are on fixed incomes now. They have worked so hard to build those neighborhoods up, but they can't afford to always keep reinvesting and keep with inflation happening now, with the uptick in just building costs and contractors. They can't afford to keep up with it. And we don't want to see those homes deteriorate, but also, you know, there's other communities like in my district as well, where you have 5206, where there is a good number of housing stock that the city actually owns and also other private homeowners own that is sitting there. They are great opportunities for growth and development. And that could be a beautiful home for someone one day for a family to raise a family there.
And also on the topic of infrastructure, it includes things like for municipalities that have to work on sidewalks, water and sewer. And Representative, you're going to have to listen to me give my spiel that I've given, it feels like 1,000 times, but I tell people, hey, we can talk about high tech all we want. We can talk about broadband all we want, but it's not going to help you if the sewer line down your street is 100 years old and needs to be replaced. It's never sexy, but it's got to get done.
Yeah, I agree. I think that people don't think about that either. You know, we talk about clean water, for example. talk about making sure folks have access to clean drinking water in their homes. It's important that we revitalize these homes. And I think when you look at the executive budget, the government realizes that housing is not a one-size-fits-all blanket fix, that it's a multi-pronged solution. And part of that is the infrastructure piece to make sure folks have access to clean drinking water.
Let me talk about one more thing related to funding, and then we're going to get just into the condition of who all has helped by this. And that would be the creation of a veteran rental assistance program that the governor is proposing funding at $1 million per year. And even though the topic does come up from time to time, I think people would still be shocked at the number of veterans in Wisconsin and across the country who are either homeless or housing deficient and need this kind of aid. And it seems it's as terrible as it sounds.
Yeah, you know, you think about any veterans issues. We have folks who signed up, some who were drafted from back in the day, but a lot of folks who volunteered and signed up to serve and protect the country overseas here on our U.S. soil, who put their lives on the line to protect the country and protect the American dream. And so the thing about them coming back home now to the communities that they fought for and the country they fought for, and not having the resources and tools they need to thrive and live a good life, is a way bigger issue than folks talk about. So I think that's why it's important that you see that $1 million investment in the budget. Not only does it provide resources and support to veterans who are trying to get housing, maintain housing, it also starts the conversation for folks to look at that and how can we help support veterans, make sure that they also have access to clean, quality, affordable housing that they sometimes struggle to. You know, you ask every day person, they think veterans struggle when it comes to getting access to housing. They will probably tell you no, but that is not the reality. So I think this is a good one of the good first steps to having that conversation and dialogue and figuring out how to deliver those support resources.
So we've talked about veterans and housing. We've talked about the workforce and affordable housing. Now let's talk about at-risk populations. And the governor notes in his plan the countless instances of mothers, individuals with disabilities, survivors of domestic and intimate partner violence, low-income individuals and families, young people and students, older adults, and others who face eviction, who sometimes are taken advantage of by predatory landlords who might not have, you know, access to legal counsel and such. So while workforce housing is important, it's also important to note the many at-risk populations who could use an advocate when it comes to keeping a roof over their heads. And at the same time, I mean, we're not talking about stiffing landlords here, but we're talking about making sure this is a win-win for the tenant, the landlord, and avoiding homelessness that can come with eviction or foreclosure.
Yeah, I think some of the you see in the governor's proposal when it comes to landlord versus tenant rights, it's not to make one side be able to win over the other. It's to make sure that all the players on the table are having a fair shot. We know there are thousands of great homeowners and landlords around the state who do good work, provide a great property, and are good partners in the agreement. There's also renters who are great renters and good partners, and they're also the other side of both of those coins. But then we see way more often that there are folks who are renters because they cannot own a home, because they don't have the financial readiness to own a home just yet, or don't know the process, or they may be a first-generation homebuyer, they do go through the process. We see those folks who a lot of time come from disadvantaged backgrounds, especially when it comes to economic status. They are faced with these sometimes unfair and wrong evictions, and they really don't know the process. There's so many times I'm knocking on doors, talking to residents around Wisconsin that they just don't, they share a story of what happened 10 years ago. They share a story of what happened 15 years ago, and you know, now it's too late, and now they've been able to get back on track 10 years later. But there are folks who are going through this process every day. And eviction is a story that too far too many people face and encounter, but it's not a real thing. So I think this is important to make sure we have those statutory changes that allow local governments to get more involved, to be able to protect those renters in the process. And
Representative Kaylin Hayward, thank you so much for the time and for filling us in on the background of this issue on Up North News Radio. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Storms have killed at least 5 people throughout southeastern Missouri, and Governor Mike Parson says the damage there is extensive.
It's going to be weeks upon months to be able to recover. It's a long journey ahead for the people that live here.
Storms also killed at least one person in Kentucky last night. Former Vice President Mike Pence says he will not fight a subpoena from a special counsel to testify about January 6. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
The special counsel certainly will want to probe into conversations he may have had with Donald Trump before the events and after the events.
A scathing new report shows decades of sexual abuse against children by the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Maryland Attorney General Anthony Brown.
We hope that exposing the Archdiocese transgressions to the fullest extent possible will bring some measure of accountability and perhaps encourage others to come forward.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance. For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-330-1991. That's 1-800-330-1991. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-330-1991. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoyed by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Is your teenager anxious about their future? Would you like to see them take control with confidence and excitement? Contact Sarah Deacon, the adulting coach, at sarahdeacon.com and give them the courage to face their next level in life. Sarah Deacon Coaching helps to process decisions, relationships, rejection, and everything else teenagers go through. And it's a judgment-free zone to learn and express themselves. Visit sarahdeacon.com for your free consultation. That's SARADEACON.com.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April.
If it's Thursday morning, 6:33 in the morning, it's Joe Zepecki. I would never ask him to get up this early on a Thursday morning. So through the magic of Wednesday afternoon conversation, here's Joe fresh off election night. Joe, how are you?
Pat knows I need my beauty sleep and can tell that I didn't get enough of it last night.
Nobody does on election night. No.
It was a great day for democracy. It was a great day for the rule of law. And I am one of many, many people who are very excited this morning, including the sweet little old lady who is checking out at the same time as me at Pet Supplies Plus earlier today, who was remarking to the teller that she was in such a great mood because her candidate for Supreme Court won, and the clerk responded, "Mine too," and the sweet little old lady ended it with, "I'm not very religious, but I feel like saying thank you, Jesus."
I think there's a lot of that going around the state today. But, you know, let's be honest. The AP called this thing, what, by 9:30? I was shocked.
Oh, I think it was before 9. It was 8:53. I had to go back and check my text messages at 8:30. I had seen enough and was telling loved ones, you don't even need to, like, tune in. There's no reason to be anxious tonight.
You said this at 8:30?
8:30. I have the text message to my parents to prove it. And listen, this was a decisive victory, the most decisive victory in Wisconsin politics since Senator Tammy Baldwin was reelected in 2018. And similar winning coalition, right? We saw in the WOW counties, Republicans just can't get it together. Protasewicz won the city of Waukesha, which is fantastic.
I'm sorry, what? What?
Yep. 50.1% of the vote in Waukesha, wow. The city of, goes to Janet Protasewicz. In the Bow counties, Brown, Outagamie, Winnebago, another big chunk of votes. Protasewicz won all of them. The last Democratic-supported candidate to do that in Wisconsin was Tammy Baldwin. In western Wisconsin, the 3rd District, which is now represented by Congressman Derek Van Orden, Protasewicz also won by 10 points. I mean, this was, from tip to tail, a blowout, a rout, and hats off to the campaign that Protasewicz and all of her allies ran.
This was, of course, the first big state Supreme Court election after the Dobbs decision, so I have to ask it this way, not meaning to sound like a negative Nancy, but obviously there was a lot invested in this race. Is this a sign of things to come, or is this a one-and-done situation and complacency is going to come back the next time we're doing this, which is when progressive Ann Walsh Bradley runs in 2025?
I don't think so. I mean, here's the reality. The overturning of Roe in the Dobbs decision was a thunderclap that may have changed American politics up and down the ballot for years to come. And so let's break this apart and talk just Wisconsin. For example, we are hopeful, we are optimistic this morning that with a 4-3 progressive majority, there will soon be clarity in Wisconsin around women's freedom to access the reproductive health care they need. That will likely come in a case that is currently making its way through the courts, which seeks to basically throw out that 1849 law and say that a law passed under Scott Walker essentially decreed that there is a 20-week abortion ban. That is not a crazy idea or notion. It is sort of Roe-like in that way. So that'll be good. It'll be a policy win. Wisconsin will be a safer place for moms. That's a good thing. Then to the politics of it, Republicans have a problem. They have a problem with women voters, with young voters, with Dobbs dads. The problem is this. Even if Republicans here in Wisconsin don't lift a finger in the legislature and the Supreme Court updates this law for them, they are still going to have to deal with extreme elements within their party, including down in the great state of Florida, which are going to do things like enact 6-week abortion bans, which they're able to do because Roe is no longer the law of the land. And so the political problem for Republicans is real, it is acute, and it is not going anywhere because, newsflash, Roe will not be codified federally under a Republican-controlled House, which is what we have right now. So this issue isn't going anywhere.
No, and it is. We talk about how the passage of the Civil Rights Act, it was mentioned at the time, I forget who said it famously, but as a Democrat said, I fear we've lost the South. And, you know, Nixon came up with the Southern Strategy and everything happened from there. So when you mentioned thunderclap, I thought of that because, yes, similarly, that Dobbs decision is what people are going to look back on as something that equally changed the political landscape for at least the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think heading into last November's elections, the impact of the Dobbs decision was undersold. And then look what happened, a overperformance by Democrats, an underperformance by Republicans. And I think there's a tendency by a lot of folks in the media and sort of super consumers of news and information to want to get to, okay, we had that election about abortion, what's the next one going to be about? And the one after that, they want to turn the page and go to the next chapter in the book. And the reality is that the reality hasn't changed for Wisconsin women, for families trying to start families, worried about you know, problematic pregnancies that they may have had in the past and whether they should try again. This impacts people's lives, and every week that has gone by, someone else in your life or in your circle has become pregnant and maybe is facing those fears for the first time. Oh my God, what if I'm not in Milwaukee or Madison and there's a health crisis and I'm in some community where they don't have three attending physicians who can make an emergency decision to save the life of a mother? That's a problem.
All right, let's turn the page and let's look at the special election in the 8th Senate District, because I have been accused of being overly cynical, overly negative, but there is a part of me, and you mentioned the extreme elements in the party, that the scenario that I currently think is most likely is that Assembly Republicans will initiate impeachment proceedings against who? I don't know. Will it be Evers? Will it be Protasiewicz? I don't know. They'll kick it to the Senate, that there will be one or two senators, you know, on the Republican side that say, no, this is a bridge too far. So maybe nobody's going to be removed from office. But I don't see what is stopping enough legislative Republicans in the Assembly and Senate from doing this anyway, because, you know, they're in what I guess I would call the jerk playbook. It's just the newest page, and why wouldn't they want to play it? But, you know, go ahead and tell me I'm being too cynical.
I am cautiously optimistic that we are not going that route. Among the reasons, this morning, AJ Bayatpour, a Milwaukee journalist, asked Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu if the Senate will consider impeaching Janet Protasiewicz. No, is what Leader LeMahieu said.
I'm sorry. Scott Walker was asked repeatedly in 2014 about right to work. Oh, no, that's a terrible idea. I wouldn't do that. That's not a priority. The bill passed 2 weeks after he got sworn into office, or was it 2 days? So, yeah, he can say no, because that's what they do.
I am cautiously optimistic. You can feel however you want to feel, Pat. but I think that one of the takeaways may be that maybe after Democrats and candidates supported by Democrats have now won 14 of the last 17 elections in Wisconsin, Republicans will finally get the message. Maybe the 14th kick from the donkey really does change the dynamic. And they understand that this Trump-era divisive, nasty, rude politics of tearing each other down and not working together, maybe that isn't a winning strategy for Republicans. And if they gum up the works of government and start threatening impeachment and doing impeachment, you know, on trumped up charges, pun intended, I don't think voters are going to respond to that. And so today, I am cautiously optimistic that they will heed that lesson that the voters clearly want them to hear.
All right. So we kind of sort of turn the page. Actually, before we do, I want to stick with the Supreme Court just a little bit longer. We know the 1849 abortion ban case is eventually going to work its way through. But what do you suspect will be the next steps in terms of fair maps and gerrymandering? Is there a group that's prepared to bring a new lawsuit the day after the new court begins its term in August? Or how do you see this playing out?
I think it's too soon to tell, and I don't want to speculate because and part of that is the caution that I have been telling everyone. We now have a path to fairer maps. Even under fairer maps, Democrats are not assured anything. There may be more competitive districts like the 8th Senate District, but Democrats are going to have to go out and win those races. And so my message to Democrats and people who support the Democratic Party is we have got to get laser focused at the legislative level on investing in these races, on, you know, training up these candidates, training up the staff that work for them. You know, it is easy after a 10 or 11 point victory statewide to go, okay, what's next? Job done. We can't do that. This is an ongoing fight for progress. And we may have elected Janet Protasiewicz to the Supreme Court last night, but you know what we didn't do? We didn't expand Medicaid. We didn't raise the minimum wage. We didn't legalize cannabis. There are so many opportunities that this state has to grow and move forward, but the work is not done. It continues.
Joe Specky's with us, and now we're going to try to turn the page, because even on Wednesday, the legislature's Joint Finance Committee began the first of its public hearings around the state on the state budget, taking public input onto where we go from here. We've spent this week looking at one part of the budget about all the various housing provisions that Governor Evers has put in about, you know, more affordable workforce housing, you know, renovating old stock, working on infrastructure. None of this stuff is going to be adopted by Republicans in the state budget. I'm quite confident of that. But, you know, these are measures that are going to get discussed from now till whenever it passes. To what degree should folks feel like they can give their input and that, you know, their Republican assembly rep or state senator, as the case may be, will take those ideas seriously?
Well, you have to try. I mean, politicians are self-interested animals. And if they hear from enough of their constituents with reasonable enough arguments, in some cases tailored to the values and worldviews of those incumbent office holders, all things are possible. Right. I mean, would you have thought that we'd be sitting here this budget cycle and Republicans would be talking about extending Medicaid coverage for moms and babies? I wouldn't have thought that, because for the last 12 years, every time the conversation of expanding Medicaid at all has come up, they've said no. It's taken 12 years. They're still not talking about doing the full expansion, but there is an ability to move the needle here, to bend the arc of the moral universe a little bit more towards justice. Hey, we saw that in an election last night. We saw it, you know, we see it all the time. And so we've got to stay engaged, stay focused. We can't sort of go, okay, the race is over and now we're going to get what we're going to get. Stay engaged, stay locked in.
Okay, I'm going to ask you for my last question, a very bold prediction. Is this the last term for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss?
No.
No?
No. He enjoys it.
Look and go, look, we've lost yet another statewide election. Because as soon as you said they might be giving a little on Medicaid, I thought, well, gosh, is this the end of the ride for, you know, is how much more of the Scott Walker machine is starting to fall apart?
I think their Medicaid play is a misguided belief that they can minimize the damage that the Dobbs decision is doing to them if they show a little more compassion and empathy for moms and babies. This ain't it.
Joseph Pecky, thank you so much as always. Get some rest. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
And yet I am still blown away by learning that Janet Protasiewicz carried the city of Waukesha, 50.1%. And I recall that a past chair for Waukesha County Democrats, also a high-ranking party official for Times, he isn't one now, but he put up a post about how Waukesha County Democratic Party chairs always passed along a message to one another about what an uphill fight they have, and that the change may not come during their time, but it's about laying the groundwork for the future, for the next chair, for the next county party. And I've been to Waukesha County Democratic Party meetings, and their rooms, their headquarters have gotten progressively bigger. More people are in attendance, and the once very bright red counties of Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington are not nearly as bright. There's some shades of purple coming in as more people look at a Republican Party going farther and farther to the extreme right and saying that it no longer represents their values. We'll take a break, a little music break, this day in history, all coming up in just a couple of minutes. You're up north.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 49. Today, under sunny skies, west winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Clear skies again tonight. Lows level off around 28. Mainly clear tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 48. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Saturday, with daytime highs approaching 55. 60 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake, always streaming at waukradio.com.
You know, Erin, it doesn't matter how many times she Lyerly's just going to cut it closer and closer every time. I believe we had 8 seconds to spare before she chimed in during this commercial break.
My microphone is actually in my lap.
Hey, whatever works.
Whatever it takes, girl. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, isn't it a beautiful day? The sun is shining. It's going to be fairly warm. I'm so happy.
You're just happy to be home after a long period away. And we're going to talk more about that in our next hour. Doctors who might be staying in Wisconsin after all, after this week's elections. But first, this day in history. And we started the segment here with Billy Joel's Piano Man. His very first top 40 hit. It came in at number 33 on this day in 1974, but marked the arrival of Billy Joel to the top 40 charts, a place that he became very familiar with over the years.
I'm not really sure how it goes, but it's sad and it's sweet, and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes.
This is one of those great, you know, where everybody in the bar has had just enough lubrication that they all, it's like a big group sing along.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen.
You've done it.
I've done it, yes. Billy Dee Williams is 86 today. Actor, singer, writer, best known perhaps for playing Lando Calrissian in Star Wars. Actor Paul Rudd is 54. Candace Cameron Bure is 47. Robert Glasper is 45. I'm not familiar with him. Innovative modern jazz pianist who incorporates a lot of hip-hop elements. Erin, if you put this in, I'm going to assume that you have all of Robert Glasper's CDs and albums.
I wouldn't go that far, but I've definitely listened to him some, and yeah, I recommend him.
Okay. So this is Billy Joel from 1974. Here's the thing. We've never had a threefer on music history. Also on this day in 1974, ABBA became European stars overnight by winning the Eurovision Song Contest on this day in 1974. Oh, look, an episode of Mamma Mia has broken out here in the studio.
Oh, have you seen the movie with Will Ferrell? And Rachel, whatever. It's about Eurovision, and it's kind of the ABBA story, but it's adorable.
No.
And they their famous song is Ya Ya Ding Dong. It's so cute.
Well, now I've got something to watch this weekend. And also on this day in 1974, on Soul Train, which usually uses lip syncing and pre-recorded tracks for their guests, Al Green with a rare live performance of Here I Am, Come and Take Me, which a lot of you younger folks probably have only heard the UB40 version. You got to get the Al Green version.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that it's real.
There's just something wrong with you that doesn't get you moving when you hear that, when you hear Al Green's version of it. On this day in 19...
feeling a little funky this morning, Pat.
That's exactly. On this day in 1973, the American League began using the designated hitter. Many people derided it. They didn't like the idea, but guess what? It's here to stay now in the American and the National Leagues. On this day in 1983,
Ronald Reagan's Interior Secretary, James Watt. Remember that bright light bulb? He canceled an appearance by the Beach Boys at Washington, D.C.'s Independence Day festivities, infamously stating the band would attract, quote, an undesirable element. Undesirable element, Kristen Lyerly, is now going to provide the rebuttal for the Beach Boys.
What?
Beach Boys? I mean, now they're seen as clean, wholesome, clean-cut, wholesome, all-American as they get. But as late as the early 80s, some people saw them as, you know, long-haired hippies.
Mm-hmm. Get a haircut.
Yeah, exactly. Normally, I start this segment, I go way back if there's a hit from back then, but I kind of really wanted to start with Piano Man. So how this otherwise would have started is to play a song recorded on this day in 1925. It was all the rage, but we don't have any guests named Susie, so we're just going to play it here anyway for Kristen.
If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl. There's none so classy as this fair lassie. Oh,
Eddie Cantor, 1925. And again, I'm realizing that since I'm part of the last generation that watched, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, like 5 hours worth of Saturday morning cartoons,
yes,
lots of Bugs Bunny cartoons. And of course, these things included a lot of vaudeville stars like Eddie Cantor. So there's no chance anybody, this is the last time most of us will ever hear that song. Let's put it that way.
And it's not because of James Watt.
And no. And finally, on this day in 1968, the number one album was the soundtrack from The Graduate, propelled largely by Simon and Garfunkel and this hit. Oh, I got to talk over the ramp here. I thought we were ready to go here. You can tell it's Mrs. Robinson, right? There's a lot of dee-dee-dees and a lot of doo-doo-doos. Trust me, they sang Mrs. Robinson a little further down the line. I should have moved the needle on the record. And we established that Aaron does know about needles and records. He actually has vinyl and a record player and everything.
And I
vinyl
use it,
in.
Too.
Vinyl is cool again.
Yeah, it's crazy. On this day in 1992, Annie Lennox released Diva, her first solo album. And it features the theme song of frequent guest Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski with Walking on Broken Glass. And one more that Aaron throws in just for me to guess if it's real or not. On this day in 1993, it says here, Tool released their debut album, Undertow. Real or fake?
Oh, you got to guess.
Real.
I'm going to go with real because you wouldn't dare put anything fake in my notes over here. So, yeah,
well,
I'm
going to
guess real. But it always makes me wonder just the same. So there we go. Little.
Are we not going to get any Tool?
I did not set aside any Tool. So you know that Aaron's going to be looking now to expose me to the musical wonder that is Tool. So we are going to have Hometown Health at 7:30. Tell us who our guest is going to be.
We are going to talk with Milwaukee neurologist, Dr. Ann Helms. Now that the election is over, what's next for the House of Medicine and what can we expect to see in our legislature and as patients here in Wisconsin?
And I think one of the things that you and I will talk about at the start of the next hour is, you know, where, how soon we think the 1849 abortion ban is going to come before this newly progressive Supreme Court. Is it going to, you know, figuratively stem the bleeding, perhaps literally, but I'm talking more about doctors leaving Wisconsin and the state of healthcare. Because once again, in your case, I mean, you're practicing outside the state these days because of, you know, the political situation that we have in the state. So we'll talk more about that next hour. Do we have Tool, Mr. Sommers?
We sure do.
Hey, this is kind of catchy.
I think you would like it, Pat.
I think so. Boy, if only I could make time, but I'm busy watching YouTube, you know, Eddie Cantor videos from the 1920s.
If you know Patty like I know Patty. So
with that, we'll take this break for news and more with Kristen Lyerly and guests coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. You're up, North.
Sip Pacific Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy's takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.